Amen, amen. If you have your Bibles, open up to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. We're going to be in verses 1 through 20 this morning. John chapter 3, verses 1 through 20. If you don't have your own copy of God's Word, why don't you go and open up to page 1222 in the Pew Bible. 1222 in the Pew Bible. Well, if you've got your Bibles open, why don't you go ahead and stand with me out of reverence for the reading of the words of our God. John writes, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, in such a way that as the words on this page are being read, God Himself is speaking to you. Beginning in verse 1. Now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And this man came to Jesus by night and said to Him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered him, are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in Him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. Whoever does what is true comes to the light so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you so much for Jesus Christ and for his gospel. And Lord, we pray that this morning you would open our hearts and minds to receive your word today, Lord, and to be changed by it. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. One of my favorite things that I get to do on a regular basis is serve as a reference for a friend who's looking for a job. I love to serve as a reference for a friend who's looking for a job. One big reason for this for me is that a little bit when I was in seminary, I got to work in sales, and I kind of come from a family, a lot of folks who are in sales, and man, I love to put the hard sell on somebody. On the phone. I love it. I love it. I had a friend one time tell me, he got the job, and later he said, man, that guy made it sound like I would be an idiot if I didn't hire you. And I was like, mission accomplished. That's exactly what I wanted to say and communicate on that phone call. I love being a reference for someone. I love talking about my friends who I think are great and making a good reference for somebody, telling somebody, man, you need to hire this person to be a great asset to your team. But also, you know, it's so important. Not only do I enjoy it, I recognize how important it is. This potential employer doesn't know them very well, but I do, and I can provide a service there for both of them to help them get a feel for whether or not this would be a good fit for their team. It helps me learn about someone when, as one of the leaders here at First Baptist, I get to call references from time to time. I love that experience. It helps me learn about someone. Look, though, what was said just right before this passage starts in John chapter 2. John chapter 2, verses 23 through 25. Let me read these verses to you. "Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast," that's Jesus, "many believed in his name when they saw the signs that he was doing. But Jesus, on his part, did not entrust himself to them, because he knew all people and needed no one to bear witness about man, for he himself knew what was in man." Jesus doesn't call references. Jesus knows what is in us. And as we see this passage about Nicodemus, I believe that John chapter 2, verses 23 through 25 are setting up several encounters that our Lord has with different people, the woman in Samaria, the Gentile later, and here Nicodemus, this ruler of the Jews, this leader of the Jews. We begin to see Jesus encountering these people who saw signs but didn't quite trust in him. Jesus introduces this religious leader, Nicodemus, to a concept that blows his mind, a thought that Nicodemus just can't seem to get his mind around. You must be born again. What a strange sign Jesus is giving them in the midst of these signs. What a strange future sign Jesus is pointing to. He's pointing Nicodemus to the second birth, being born again. And it's important for us as Christians, as Baptists, as evangelical Christians, it's important for us to recognize and realize that we believe in conversionism. We believe in being born again. So this morning I want to show you three truths, three realities that ought to impact each and every one of us here today about what it means to be born again. Three truths about the second birth this morning. Here's the first. The second birth must come from above. The second birth must come from above. Let's focus in on verses 1 through 8. Listen to what Jesus says to Nicodemus. "Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus," verse 1, "a ruler of the Jews, and this man came to Jesus by night." I don't want to read too much in here, but consistently in the book of John, when John talks about night, it's almost always got a double meaning. I think this literally happened at night, but oftentimes John will highlight it to highlight a spiritual darkness, to show the way the light is shining in the darkness. And you know, we see that in verse chapter 1, we see a reference to the darkness, but also in John's commentary in 16 through 21, he mentions the light shining in the darkness again. And so here I think John's using this intentionally to try to show the reader's mind that even though Nicodemus was a religious leader and a leader in Israel, his spiritual life was darker than he thought. "Came to Jesus by night," verse 2, "and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Here is a leader of the Jews and a Pharisee, a ruler of the Jews, it says. That probably means he was a member of the Sanhedrin. For him to address Jesus, who we know had, as far as we know, no formal rabbinical training, to address him as rabbi is a way that he is honoring Jesus and showing respect to Jesus. He's curious. He's drawn in because of the signs. And Jesus answers in verse 3, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Something I want you to know, John does this a lot. John will oftentimes use one word or use a couple of words that intentionally play with one another or intentionally have a double meaning. And I think that's another thing that's happening here, because this word here, to be born again, this word again here can mean again, but it can also mean from above. It's got a double meaning. And I think John is intending for that to be the case. And if you look at John's context here and you look at what Jesus is saying here, I think it's very clear that both of these meanings are in view. In fact, it feels like Nicodemus understood it to be born a second time, but Jesus is trying to show him, yeah, it's born a second time, but it's also being born from above. Nicodemus is confused. Verse 4, he says to him, "How could a man be born when he is old?" We assume then that Nicodemus is an older man. "Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" This is kind of a dense question. I sometimes wonder how folks can't recognize that Jesus is speaking sometimes allegorically. But he says, how is this the case? And Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Now, a lot of people wonder what this means to be born of water and the Spirit. In fact, I guess Jim Enzer and I will probably discuss this at length later this afternoon. That's what we normally do, these tough questions in the Bible. But a lot of people wonder what it means to be born of water and the Spirit. They wonder what this water might mean. They wonder if it's a reference to being born naturally the first time, being born of water, if it's a physical, natural birth. The only problem is being born of water is virtually never, during this period of antiquity, during this time, it's virtually never a phrase or a reference that someone would use. It's almost never referred to in that way. And a lot of people would ask whether or not this is a reference to baptism, a reference to baptism. Jesus is talking about being baptized and being born of the Spirit. The problem is it really doesn't fit. That really doesn't fit either with what Jesus is talking about here during this time, and it also doesn't really fit with sort of the pattern we see in the rest of the New Testament for when people are born of the Spirit and then later baptized. It just doesn't quite fit. It doesn't seem likely. And furthermore, why would Jesus be frustrated with Nicodemus for not understanding something that really wasn't a common practice yet? Even though John did practice the baptism of repentance, it just doesn't seem likely that Jesus would be expecting that of Nicodemus and wondering why Nicodemus didn't understand it. In fact, I think what Jesus is doing is chastising Nicodemus as this passage progresses, and you even hear him say this explicitly. He's chastising for not knowing the Scriptures. Not knowing the Scriptures. He's not chastising him for not understanding that being born of water means to be born of your mother. And he's not chastising him for not understanding a future Christian ecclesiological practice, a future sacrament, so to speak, a future ordinance of the church. He's chastising him for not knowing that which he's been commissioned to teach God's people. Ezekiel chapter 36 is not the only place where we see this imagery, but I want you to hear Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 25 and 26. "I will what? Sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness and from all your idols. I will cleanse you, and I will give you a new heart and a new what? A new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart flesh." This is so obvious here that Jesus is pointing back to this imagery that's used in the Old Testament of the cleansing of water and the rebirth through the Spirit. Jesus is saying, "Don't you see how the Scriptures have taught this, and yet you don't realize it?" All this imagery, though, tells us something we need to know. The new birth is not something we can do on our own. It's something that must come from above. We don't have it in us. It's something God must do. It's something that we can't do ourselves. You see, Nicodemus came to Jesus and he had all of the credentials. He had all of the credentials. He had training. He had all the things he needed to know what he needed to know. And yet he still didn't realize it was not in and of himself. It was not in and of himself that he could be born again. He needed a new heart. And only Christ can lead us to be born of water and the Spirit. Only Christ can cleanse us and give us the indwelling Spirit. Let me ask you this question today, brothers and sisters. Is this where you are in your life? Do you have all the religious credentials? You know, I went to vacation Bible school, and you know, I was in RAs and GAs. I won the race with the little cars we made. I was the rowing champion at RA and GA camps. And then I went to college, and I was the BCM president. And then I came back, and I've done this and this and this and this and this in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of these days, there are going to be so many people like that, brothers and sisters, who stand before the judgment seat of Christ, to whom he says, "Depart from me, I never knew you." There'll be so many people who went to seminary, people who served the Lord, people who knew their Bibles frontward and backward. You know, the devil knows the Bible. The demons know God and shudder. Do we have all the religious credentials but none of the Spirit? Are we constantly evaluating not only our personal lives but also our church to determine whether or not we are being led by the Holy Spirit or whether or not we're just simply making sure that we've got all the right boxes checked? We have to be so careful, brothers and sisters. Nicodemus had all the credentials, but he missed the reality that he needed to be made into something new. He thought that what he had was enough, and so it just never dawns on him. He's saying, I can't go back into my mother, be born again? What are you talking about? It's so foreign to him to think that he needs a new heart, that he's saying things that are just kind of downright silly. All the religious credentials and none of the Spirit. Is that where we are? Here's second point this morning. Second point is this. The second birth must come through the gospel. The second birth must come through the gospel. Nicodemus said to him, verse 9, "How can these things be?" And Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things?" In other words, what I think that Jesus is saying here is he's amazed by Nicodemus's density, is that if he cannot understand this earthly thing, that he can't be born again, or that he's not born again, then how can he ever expect to understand heavenly things, entering the kingdom of God? Jesus is making it very plain here. If you want to ascend into heaven, you must know the one who has descended from there. Verse 13, he says this, "No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man." And listen to verse 14. This is where I want to focus. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." The second birth must come through the gospel. That's what I mean. And by the second point, the second birth must come through Jesus being lifted up on the cross, him bleeding and dying for our sins, and then him being lifted up into heaven after his resurrection, in his ascension. We must look to Christ to be saved. If you want to ascend into heaven, you must know the one who has descended from there. If you want to know the Lord in heaven, you must know him here on earth. You must be born again. You must be born from above. Brothers and sisters, we need the gospel. We need the gospel. Be crushed afresh daily by your great need for Jesus lifted up like the serpent in the wilderness. God's wrath had come on his people there in the wilderness. They were stricken by serpents. They were dying. And God ordered Moses to hold up a bronze serpent, and everyone who looked on the serpent would live. And here, the New Testament authors, Jesus himself, is picking this imagery back up and demonstrating to us the way that Jesus fulfills that imagery. That was a type of what Christ was doing. And now we're being pointed in these Old Testament texts, and Nicodemus is being pointed in a text he ought to know, and he certainly would have known, not only in Ezekiel, but now in Exodus as well. We're being pointed to this reality that it's Jesus who heals us from our sins. Jesus is over and over and over trying to demonstrate to Nicodemus, you have needs you know not of. You see, the Pharisees, Sanhedrin, they would have seen themselves as proper religious folks, the kind of people, right, that are your core folks. Somebody tried to make a point to them. You know what they would have said? Easy now. You're preaching to the choir. They were there in the center of the religious life of Israel. And yet, Jesus is saying, everyone, your credentials don't matter. Everyone must look to Christ to live. Everyone must see the Son of Man lifted up to live. We need the gospel. And here's the reality, and that's our third point this morning. Here's the reality. We need the second birth, because the second birth is the only way to escape judgment. The second birth is the only way to escape judgment. I believe you've got a shift that happens. A lot of commentators wonder about this, but I believe here, beginning in verse 16 on into 21, you have John's explanatory commentary on what Jesus has just said. Jesus said, whoever believes in him may have eternal life. And then John expands on what the Lord has just taught Nicodemus, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, of course. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Y'all ever heard that verse before? You ever stopped and thought about what that verse means? God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. He sent his Son into the world so that he might be lifted up, so that whoever believes in him, those who look to the one who's lifted up, they won't perish, but they will have everlasting life. And John 3:17 is so beautiful. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. What good news that is. Christ didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved. That's the positive mission of God. Jesus was sent into the world so that you might be saved. God loved you so much that he sent his Son into the world so that you might be saved. God displayed his grace to us by sending his Son into the world, not to condemn us, but that the world might be saved. That's the positive mission of God. However, John makes sure that we see that just because Jesus came into the world not to condemn the world, that does not mean that there will be no judgment. Verse 18, whoever believes in him is not condemned. He came into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Therefore, if you want to not be condemned, you must then believe in Jesus. But whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world. The world was condemned already. This is the point that he's making. Nicodemus couldn't see through the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. And so John is demonstrating that even this Jewish leader was condemned already. He thought it was day in his spiritual life, but it turns out he's coming to Jesus at night. His heart is dark. He can't see Christ for who he is. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. It wasn't sufficient for Nicodemus to be impressed by the miracles of Christ. It wasn't sufficient for Nicodemus to simply say, you must be a good man from God. No, Nicodemus needed to see Jesus for who he was. He needed to put his faith in him. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. And a reader at John's time, who is a faithful man, a faithful Israelite, would have read something like this and been shocked by the way that John is associating Nicodemus with works of evil. Because this is a man who lived a good life. This is a man who lived a clean life. This was not a drunkard who had come to Christ. This is not a guy who had come to Jesus and said, I'm about to murder a guy. I need you to hold my gun so I don't go do it. You know, it's not that sort of a situation. It's a situation where a good man who's impressed with Christ, who had religious credentials, came to Jesus, and at this moment he could not see Jesus for who he was because his works were evil. Most of the people I know fall in this category. Most of the people I know fall in this category. Most of the lost people I know are not scoundrels. And there are those of you in this room right now who would say, I've done everything I know to do for the Lord, and things still aren't clicking. I still have a guilty conscience. I'm still struggling. What else do I need to do? I've gone to Sunday school. I've taught Sunday school. I've taught Bible studies. I've given to missions. I've got Lottie and Annie both in my will. I've got everything you can think of, right? Aunt Lottie and Aunt Annie are getting all kinds of money. I've done everything I can think of to make things right with God. You must be born again. You must be born from above. You must be born again through the gospel. If you don't trust Jesus, if you don't put all that you have in Jesus, if you don't take all of those things that you've done in your life and recognize that apart from Christ, though they may seem good, there's filthy rags before a holy God. Brothers and sisters, there's not more to do. You're at the bottom of the list. You've checked every box. You need to be remade through Christ. My hope, my prayer is that you'll see, that you'll understand, that you'll experience the reality that the only way to escape the judgment of God, the only way to know God, the only way to know Jesus is through being born again. You must be born. You must be cleansed. This is what's so strange to Nicodemus. And you'll notice this as we travel through John, as you work through the Gospels. Everyone comes to Jesus asking for one more thing. Everyone comes to Jesus asking for one more thing. Do you see what Nicodemus is doing? He's trying to assimilate it into his religious framework. Oh, you need to be born again. Well, how do I go about doing that? I guess I should call Mother. She'll probably need to be involved here, right? They're trying to do that. The rich young ruler is coming saying, what must I do to inherit eternal life? People are coming to Jesus and he's telling them what to do, and they say, well, I've done that. And from time to time, Jesus will give them one more thing that he knows they won't do to help drive this point home. But here in these moments, he's simply telling Nicodemus, you don't need one more thing to do. You need a new Nicodemus. You need to be remade. You don't need to be born again in the flesh. You need to be born again from above. You need to be a new creation. The only way to escape the judgment of God is to be born again. Brothers and sisters, my admonishment to you today, my encouragement to you today is stop striving and start trusting Jesus. If you've never trusted Him before, perhaps the Spirit is moving in your heart right now so that you might be cleansed, so that you might be born again. I promise you all those things you're clinging to right now, I've clung to them too. Let them go and be embraced by the one whose yoke is easy and whose burden is light. You must be born again. You must be born again through the gospel. You must be born again from above. And you must be born again to escape judgment. I want to offer an invitation today. If you have never put your faith in Jesus Christ, today is the day when Jesus would lovingly, graciously accept you, you sweet, tired pilgrim who's been walking and trudging and trying so hard. Jesus offers you rest. He stands with open arms. Turn from your sin and repentance. Turn to God in faith through Jesus Christ. And Jesus, I promise you, according to His word, He will receive you today. Love to talk with you and pray with you as you do what's right to turn to Jesus as a Christian for the first time. Second of all, you may be a believer who just says, Pastor, I've not been living these things out like I should. This altar is open. This altar is open, and I'm here for you to pray today. And finally, you may be looking for a church home. I'd love to talk to you today about what it means for you to be a member here at First Baptist Church. After this prayer, I want you to come. Let's pray together. Lord, perhaps today you're working in the heart of a brother or sister who needs you desperately. God, my prayer is that you would move in their hearts today. And Lord, let this time of invitation be a time when we encounter you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.